Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my Wild Country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
Block somebody!
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hara and former All-American Cam Cleland.
Grab an award-winning pie from Sherry's for your next football viewing party or tailgater. Sherry's Cafe and Pies. Fresh, local, delicious.
Football Friday with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
Hey. Dusty and Cam, yes, we did forget this in the last segment. Terrell Williams. Western Oregon University. The Wolves. Had a 100-yard game. Chargers receiver.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
100-yard right. game last week.
Lord Tyrell. And that's his nickname.
That's what? His nickname is Lord Tyrell?
I don't know. That's what someone told me.
From Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh.
Okay.
Ugh.
It's a good nickname.
Crawford, it is always awkward. It is often offensive. And it is exceedingly entertaining. Let's do it.
Okay.
In the cover band I was talking about, Erotic City is the Prince cover band. What do you think about that?
Fitting.
I'd like to go see them because I did stumble into a bar where they were playing and I was like, this is before Prince.
Did you literally stumble into the bar from drinking? Or did you just happen to go into the
bar? I was using that as kind of like the colloquial expression, like to stumble in, but okay. I may have stumbled. It was a Friday night.
Okay.
This is before Prince died, and so I was like, oh, is that Prince?
Oh.
So I recommend him. Erotic City. All right, we were talking about this earlier. We're talking about the Beatles and the fifth Beatle. Classically, there's actually a lot of different people that have been rumored to be the fifth Beatle. Peter Best being the most common one, the guy who was in the band early on and then wasn't and got left behind. So would you rather be the fifth Beatle? I think that has somewhat some fame in its own right.
He's like been folklore.
Yeah, it's part of folklore, part of society. He's been interviewed. People know who he is. He's famous because of how famous the band that he was in became. Or would you rather be one of those actors that could have been cast in the epic role but was passed on it? For example, this is a funny one. Ooh. Sylvester Stallone was supposed to play Eddie Murphy's role in Beverly Hills Cop. A few other famous ones I found.
Ooh, who's the Michael J. Fox one from Back to the Future? That's a good one.
Oh, I don't know.
He got replaced.
He got replaced like mid filming.
Yeah. Okay, John Travolta was supposed to play Forrest Gump.
Really?
But then Tom Hanks
took
it.
I didn't know that.
That would have been...
Tom Hanks was number two?
A horrible movie.
But Tom Hanks was number one in Jerry Maguire.
That would have been good either way.
Yeah, that would have,
would have been good either way.
John Travolta would have been a weird Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
I would have loved hearing Tom Hanks yell, "Show me the money." Sound
I'm
completely
going with
different.
The actor, though. I'm going with the actor thing because I feel like either way, I'm still getting a job acting.
Yeah.
Because you were mentioning a lot of still big name guys.
Yeah, that's true. You're still a big name.
I'm still a big name. Yeah. So if we're going to go with that criteria, it's I just still like, want to be the big name.
Okay, think about this. Like
the B movie. I don't
think about
care.
This career arc.
Second
Titanic.
Fiddle.
Matthew McConaughey and Macaulay Culkin were both considered for the lead role in Titanic before it was given to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh.
Imagine Macaulay Culkin's career arc if he's in Titanic. Tell you what,
he arced at age 10.
I'm guessing it looks a lot different.
Well, Leo was a child star too, though.
Yeah, Leo was the turd in Growing Pains. He was
also in This Boy's Life, which was filmed up in my hometown in Concrete, but Cedar Woolley, Concrete, Washington. That was a great movie too.
Where's Concrete, Washington? Is that a town?
It is east of Cedar Woolley.
I have a guess on what their main export is.
It was Concrete. Okay. No, it's yeah. But either way, yes, child actor.
Goose Down Pillows.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm going to go with the actor, too.
Yeah.
But I think this is more less the star, more the Back to the Future one, which I don't know who that was, but he is not famous. And
well, he is kind of, you'd recognize him if you'd, someone point that one out to. Just Google his picture. But either way, we're going with actors.
Robert, yeah, I am too. It's just an interesting thing to think about what could have been.
Like Eric Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz.
Yeah. They didn't like the way he played with Leah Thompson. Immediately.
Really?
Yeah, in their early filming. So they said kibosh. Leah Thompson, by the way. Yes. I had a thing for Leah Thompson.
Right? I liked Elizabeth Shue better in Back to the Future 2.
Big fan of her, Karate Kid.
Big fan of Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah.
We know you are.
Yeah.
I know your top celeb brushes.
Wow.
She is.
Leah Thompson still looks good.
Of course she does. Didn't age well.
Okay, so moving on. Robin Williams, speaking of RIP dead celebrities, his bike collection, apparently he had a huge, really, I guess, diverse bike collection.
Like
he collected
bicycles?
Bicycles, yeah, bicycles. He collected all kinds of bicycles. Today, it's going on auction. They're auctioning off all the different bikes. So I looked up some of the weirder collections that people have, some of the top strange collections, and I found two of the weirdest ones I found, and I want to know, which would you rather collect and be known for collecting? Oh, Cam, he's a collector of... And here's our options. Belly button lint. There is a guy in England who collects belly button lint. Or B, toenail clippings.
Ew. Ew.
There is someone who has the world claim to fame of they have just jars of toenail clippings.
Gross.
So which would you rather
What's
be known?
What's grosser, though?
Their own or others?
The belly button lint guy is his own. The toenail clippings appear to be a crowdsourced thing.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm going belly button lint guy for sure. I'm not, dude, if I'm collecting something gross and weird, it better be for me and not anybody else. That is weird collecting at other people's toenails.
You know what's weirder? People that bite their own toenails. Off.
That's weirder than collecting other people's toenails?
Yes, I think because you're putting that in your mouth. So I'm going with the toenail.
I don't know.
Belly button lint, I don't really have
any. I'm not that flexible.
Because that,
made a really, that's tough. What is
belly button lint?
No.
Oh.
No.
Belly button lint is just lint from your clothes.
Yeah. It's getting caught up in there.
Caught up in there. What if you have an Audi?
Yeah, it's a good point. You don't have to deal with the lint. I'm going with belly button lint.
How
my
many
own.
People have Audis in the
I
world?
Don't know. Is it 50-50?
Do you have an Audi?
I have an Innie.
I have an Innie.
Yeah, yours is pierced. We've seen that.
No, it's not pierced.
All pierced.
I'm an Innie. Kirshner, are you an Innie?
He's an Audi.
Oh.
You're an Audi?
So we're... 1 of 4.
Okay, so 25% of people 25%. Have Audis.
I would say that's probably what I would think.
Yeah, scientifically proven. Okay, let's harken
Kirshner's
back.
Kirshner's got an Audi, huh?
He's got Audi vibes, though. You know
what? There's a criteria of Audi.
There's
people?
Vibes.
Audi vibes.
Yeah, it's not a bad. It's not.
Why
a bad
do you
thing.
Have an Audi and not an Innie?
I have no idea.
When they clip your umbilical cord, is that just how it heals, or is there like a
yeah,
medical,
I think so.
Medical reason for it? You cut it too close.
Was it like a big fart when you were a kid and it just popped out instead? Like, I don't know what happens.
You've cut an umbilical cord, didn't you? Cut your daughter's?
I did.
I cut all three of mine.
Yeah. The hearse fell off naturally when they put the little clamp on.
Exactly.
Sometimes I just go down to the hospital, hang out, see if they needed someone to do some clipping.
Oh.
All right, let's move on. This is
you take it too far.
This harkens back to a
this
conversation.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This harkens back to a conversation we had on Wednesday about live mascots. R.I.P. Mike the Tiger, LSU's mascot.
Big
They're actually going to wear a helmet decal, I believe, on Saturday.
Kirshner showing his support.
Yep.
R.I.P. Tigers.
We talked about which school that doesn't have a live mascot needs to incorporate one, and I thought these are kind of two of the worst ones that we thought of, and I want to know which one. Would be worse. Which one would you least want to see? The Richmond Spiders start incorporating a live mascot. I don't know if it's one giant tarantula or if it's a ton of a variety of spiders that are unleashed upon the field before or after the game. Or B, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. I don't know if they just keep like a nest in the south end zone or what.
I will say this. I don't have a bee allergy. And I learned this when I was a small child. If you don't mess with bees, they won't mess with you, man. So I would rather have the bees. Like a spider will bite you for no reason.
Really?
Like, a spider will be crawling on you and he'll just bite you.
I thought the swarm of yellow jackets spelled disaster
I've had an awful Yellow Jacket experience.
Well, you probably did something to make it
bad. No, and it wasn't my fault. I crashed my motorcycle into the ground nest.
Well, that's what you did.
It was on accident.
Yeah,
but they flew into my helmet.
You know what I'm going to start doing?
Into my helmet.
Cam, you would too if I came in just like roundhouse, kicked your door down, was like, that's what you would do.
I know,
you
were protecting their hive. I get it.
You'd be upset with me. Run my bicycle off a jump through your front living room window.
And I totally had the faceless helmet from the 1980s.
Those are the greatest. Like you little Lloyd Christmas and Dumb and Dumber on his little
I had a little Yamaha YZ80, and I hit the jump and flipped it and landed. It's like, oh, all of a sudden I was swarmed.
Oh.
And then I took my helmet off. My mom whipped me with a dish towel because she freaked out. She didn't know what to do.
So
she's just hitting them in my head with a dish towel.
And your mom's just.
That was her philosophy.
Needless to say,
I don't have any problems with the spiders thing.
Okay.
It makes me a little. But the bees one.
And Richmond wins. Unleashed thousands of spiders.
I know what Dusty would truly freak out. If the Arizona Diamondbacks rolled out, he'd be like, I'm out.
I'd cry.
I think Florida A&M is the snakes, too.
Rattlers, yeah. Florida A&M.
Yeah.
Florida A&M, yeah.
Man. All right.
Okay. let's talk about weather and football. Would you rather, this isn't about playing, this is more about being a fan and being in the stands. Would you rather go to Saturday's Oregon State game, lows around 50 degrees, winds of about 30 miles an hour with torrential downpour, sitting in the stands in a shorts and a t-shirt for the whole game, or...
Which, that, there will be people
doing college that. Kid, and he'll paint it on
his... liquid blanket.
Or fireball. Elementary school, middle school kids, they all wear shorts.
They're just oblivious, right?
Take a sweatshirt with you. I don't need one, Dad.
Okay, because to me, that sounds horrible. That wind chill, I'm shivering. I'm going to be a skeleton by the end. Or the other one, this is the hottest, according to the internet, this is the hottest NFL game on record, was Cowboys-Eagles in 2000 at Old Cowboy Stadium. It was 109 degrees at kickoff. Would you rather be in the stands for that game in a full polyester suit?
Oh.
I would rather be, this may go, I'm going to go polyester suit. I'm going to go polyester suit in the heat.
God, I don't like being
cold. But actually, 57 in torrential downpour isn't that.
That's
cold.
Not that
but
bad.
I'm 30 mile an hour winds.
Yeah,
though.
No, I'm going. Yeah, I'm going with the shorts and t-shirt.
I'm going shorts and t-shirt too because I don't think 57's that cold.
I won't die. The shorts and t-shirt. I will die at 109 in polyester.
Hydrate.
It's not possible. I can't get that. I can't.
IV.
There's no way.
See, I
there's
want
no IVs.
I want to go
IVs
with
in the stand.
Polyester suit, but I don't know if that's a good idea.
Yellow jackets are not bees. They're nasty SOB wasps that are mean and will come after you for no reason. Oh.
Yellow jacket. Who cares?
Whatever.
It's yellow.
I'm sticking to it.
I just imagine that going horrible. Like you know how like players will score and they'll run into the cameraman?
Yeah.
Like, do that, but there's like a hive, a nest in one of the end zones. Player runs into the hive, topples it over.
You doing your Tommy boy?
Yeah.
Bees!
Yeah, that in the whole stands. Still, I think that's better than the spiders, though.
Yeah. Ooh, this is a good text. Dehydration kills. Whiskey warms. Shorts and shirt.
Bingo.
Bingo, bingo, bingo.
I think that's
baby.
The motto for Reeser on Saturday. I can't wait.
All right.
Thanks for playing.
Let's talk some Cruton. Oregon State capitalizing on their first Pac-12 win. Meanwhile, the Oregon Ducks have been called out by some surprising and some not surprising people. How is this slide affecting the recruiting for Oregon? And how is the uptick in wins affecting recruiting for Oregon State? Andrew Nemec of the Oregonian joins us next. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Brought to you by Sherry's Cafe and Pies.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, it is 8:20 on your Friday morning. Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with you. Joining us now is the high school football recruiting expert. For the Oregonian. Dude works his butt off. Andrew Nemec joins us now. Andrew, did Crawford have you Did he ask you what you wanted for your bump back music, or?
Yeah, and I said I didn't care, but now I kind of do in hindsight.
You don't give him control ever.
I was I was actually going to give you some props for Juvenile. I was like, wow, start his Friday morning the right way. All right, well, Nemec, how you doing this morning, man?
I'm well, man. I'm battling a cold a little bit, but I'm doing well.
Toughen up. How about that? You're all over this recruiting thing with Oregon State, the high school kids locally here. I guess where we should start, there's been a lot of news out of the University of Oregon, and some of it is surprising, some of it is not surprising, whether it's current players, former players, but now future players are calling out the Oregon football program. Tell us a little bit about the surprising comments from one of the top prospects that the Ducks have.
Sure. Oregon landed D'Amador Lenore, the number 4 athlete in the country. He's listed as an athlete position. He's about 80th overall. Offers from Alabama and a number of other big-time programs, one of the more offered corners in the country. And he said he read an article or he saw a tweet from Dennis Dodd of CBS that was referencing the registered guard. Cameron Hunt said 30 to 40% of the team doesn't care if we win. And he tweeted, well, if that feeling better change because spots will be taken. We're coming in to take some spots. And I think that's the feeling of this recruiting class that's going to hang on, is this is a one-year hiccup, and this isn't on, at least this is what the recruits think, this isn't on necessarily the program or the coaches. This is on the players, and they've got an opportunity to play for a very, very good football program, and they're wasting it. And I don't know, I don't think that's every recruit, but I think that was certainly D'Amador's point, is like, hey, if you guys aren't coming into battle and fight, we're gonna you know, take your starting jobs and get this thing back on track.
You know, like if Elijah Molden says it's tough to imagine the loss didn't hurt the recruiting effort, you have big time guys that were there. You just put out the article with Nate McBride, who comes all the way from Georgia and watches that game. Is the shine a little bit off? Because if you throw in the fact that there could be uncertainty about a head coach, what are the players on the outside? What are parents saying? What are people saying about the Oregon program from the outside?
Yeah, and really the number one thing, the number one most surprising thing in all the time I've done this is that most high school kids don't watch football very closely. The Washington game was really the first game people saw, recruits saw, parents saw, that felt like, hey, maybe Oregon's slipping. Other than that, they lost two close games to a ranked Nebraska and a ranked Colorado, now ranked Colorado, or at the time, you know, like last week they were ranked. And recruits really thought there was a chance here that Oregon was just having a little bit of a hiccup, and now we're looking at it and saying, hey, this is a full-on slide. And when you come all the way from Georgia, you know, Nate McBride actually named Oregon his co-leader along with Georgia after his visit, and said the visit didn't faze him in any way, that the loss wasn't that big a factor. And yet, really kind of dig a little bit, and I asked him, you know, how much is playing away from home a factor? And he said, oh, well, I want my parents to see me play. Well, he lives in Georgia. He wants to see his parents. His parents want to see him play. Sounds like it's going to end up being Georgia. I think Oregon slipping is a factor for some of these kids.
Now, wait a minute, Ed. You said something that just made my head explode. You told me, you just said that high school kids aren't paying attention very much to games. Are you trying to tell me that they're more concerned about their parents being closer, how they look, or what are kids watching? I mean, I can think back to, it was very critical to me to watch an offense or watch a team if they were good or not. So you mean to tell me that the kids don't care as much as what you're saying?
I just think kids are busy. You know, I don't even know how many thousand kids now in the last 2 years I've been doing this. And I'd say about 30% pay real close attention. They're aware. They know that Oregon runs a high-powered offense. You know, generally speaking, they know they have flashy uniforms. You know, they know Oregon State's in rebuild mode. But in terms of watching the game, here's where the breakdowns are happening. Oh, here's what the depth chart looks like. Oregon fans know all that stuff. They know about Justin Herbert coming in and playing well and potentially being a four-year starter. The Duck fans know what's going on because it's their program. But when you're in a recruit from Georgia or California, you may know Oregon's struggling. You may even know Oregon got beat bad. But in terms of what's really wrong, they don't pay that close of attention. They're not reading OregonLive.com. You know, they're not checking all that stuff out as regularly. So they don't notice it as quickly. I think recruits are just kind of starting to say, hey, Oregon might be sliding, just within the last week. Before that, I called probably 12 different major targets or commits, and almost all but one ended up saying, you know, they could still kind of win out or end up 8-4, and it wouldn't. And I was going, you know, realistically, this is looking like a year where they probably don't make a bowl game. And recruits kind of came back with, man, you know, Oregon's always so good. I can't imagine that's the case. So this is really the first week that they've kind of noticed something really being off.
Wow. Andrew Nemec of the Oregonian is our guest. Oregon State, man, you get one conference win, and all of a sudden they pick up a couple big recruits on the recruiting trail. How's Gary Anderson doing it with this rebuild and hauling in guys that are highly coveted?
Well, Gary Anderson's going the JC route. He's got some real inroads there. He's a big believer in JC talent, and it's well known. So he's got serious inroads at some of the best programs. He just landed Justin Saddlemeyer, a junior college offensive lineman. He's 6'7", 300 pounds. They also lead for Craig Edwards, a 6'3", 305-pound defensive tackle who has offers from Colorado, Ole Miss, and USC, and are very much in the mix there.
Now, is that the kid that was committed to Gary at Wisconsin?
Yeah.
And then didn't qualify academically, so then had to go the JC route?
Correct.
Ooh. Yeah, he's a good one.
He's getting things sorted out, figured things out, and I don't know exactly when he's going to qualify, but with their need at defensive tackle and really just frankly inability to recruit a high school defensive tackle that's just ready to go, a plug and play, Craig Evans certainly looks like their best on-field option.
Hmm. All right. Well, gosh, that's got to be a tough one, but that kind of goes back to what you were saying with a lot of these recruits. Like Gary Anderson in Oregon State, you can build with and start getting a good recruiting base based on the fact that kids are buying into more of what you're selling them than reading all of the clippings and seeing kind of how bad things may be perceived locally, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't trick a kid. I mean, you can't trick a kid. Like, they're not going to be saying, well, we're going to win a Pac-12 title this year. And it's like, oh, okay. I mean, they're basically aware, but you can kind of package that within a visit how you want to. You know, a lot of the Oregon guys came back from their visit against Washington and said, well, it's a rebuilding year, and they're going to be really good again next year. And that may very well be true, but I don't think that's a slam dunk, and that's certainly how it's being perceived, it sounds like, from recruits right now. Similarly with Oregon State, you get a win, and you start saying, hey, we're on the way up. And it's like, well, there was nowhere lower to go. They didn't win a Pac-12 game last year. But Gary Anderson can really sell, hey, we just beat Cal. Imagine what happens when I get my players here. Imagine what happens when we get some veterans here that are under my system that have had 2 or 3 years to mature. We're going to be a much better football program. And that's the selling point right now. And I actually think he's got a point. I mean, when Gary Anderson took over Oregon State, the depth of talent just wasn't there. They didn't have a two deep that was full of Pac-12 talent. And I think within a year or two, they're going to have a team that's competitive because they have enough warm bodies that are Pac-12 athletes and Pac-12 caliber players.
Andrew Nemec of the Oregonian, we're going to have you on again come later in the season once these local kids start solidifying their plans. You can find him on Twitter at Andrew Nemec. Thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
good stuff from him. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that caught you by surprise. And
it really did. I think when you're making a decision for the rest of your life, which could spearhead not only your education, but your choice in college, if you're not taking the time to actually look into the program, not only the program, the coaches, the how they play, their offense, do I fit their style? How does it work? I mean, think about all those things that you have to take into consideration, and you're mean to tell me that they don't have enough time? I don't disagree with Andrew. I just am blown away by that logic, 30%.
Well, I think it's a different, I think it is looking into the actual school and the coaches more so than it is wins and losses. And I think that's what he was saying, is that it's they're not, like, the panic in the streets of fans at Oregon right now, that's not resonating with recruits outside of the state of Oregon. Because unless you're checking Oregon Live and you're listening to, you know, 1080 The Fan app in Georgia, that middle linebacker fan isn't hearing these rumblings about Helfrich, right? What he's looking at is, I know what Oregon has been. I go to the facilities. I see the facilities. I like the facilities. I like the school. I like the coaches. I like Don Pelham. I like Brady Hoke.
Well, we don't know what he's feeling. We can't speak for him. But
that's, that's a theoretical.
Yeah.
That's what he is seeing. He's not seeing everything else on the outside. And if you're not paying attention to the scores and all you're doing is listening to the coaches and talking to the coaches, that's what makes more sense about that. Right?
You're not going to sell me on the fact that wins and losses don't swing teams or swing players.
Hey, recruiting guys,
you're not going to swing that.
If wins and losses were the big thing, then Washington would still be 0-12, right?
Well,
you know, but that you know, recruiting guys is you get talent based on how well you recruit, not your wins and losses. It's building a base and then going in finding that talent and building connections with guys.
Yeah.
I mean, bad teams would perennially stay bad forever and would never get good, and good teams would never fall off if you couldn't recruit that way, you know? I mean, you have to be able to go out and sell something else besides the world is falling, you know, around us. So 55305, that is the text line. Good stuff from Nemec. I'm surprised, though, that the Georgia kid is listing them as co-leaders, because that, after a 70-21 game, you know, that is, they must be selling something really good there in those meetings. Must be doing something right behind closed doors. 55305 is a text line. Got a lot of really good feedback coming in. And we've got some more NFL talk. The Seahawks hosting the Falcons this weekend. Here's Crawford with SportsCenter.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Brought to you by Sherry's Cafe and Pies.
On 1080 The Fan.
You know, that was what Andrew Nemec said, it blew your mind. It surprised me, but not kind of knowing and seeing these high school kids that are being recruited at those high levels, like, when we do our game of the week, I mean, and we're not seeing like the number one recruits out of everywhere, but in kind of getting to talk to them a little bit too, it really wasn't that big of a surprise, but the number of guys that he put on it really was. But he said, what, 30%? What, 30, 40% or whatever?
Actually watch the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And take that in. Do you think that goes more to stay the course? Don't make your coaching changes at places like Oregon, Notre Dame, Texas.
I think it flips it even more. I think it doesn't even matter. It just matters how big your brand is now. I really don't. I mean, it's surprisingly, when you're at a big brand, stay with me here. When you're at a big brand like an Oregon or a Texas, and you're able to have that, I think that if you've established yourself as a nationwide brand of having Nike behind you, great facilities, and or your Texas where your tradition, or your Notre Dame where you're just the center of America and you're this traditional old school style of football and you're a brand that can just transcend, then you can just stay the course with whatever you want because it doesn't seem like it matters. Because of what he's saying is 30% of kids don't care about the game, then really you're just selling them on an experience.
Well, you're selling them on the school. You're selling them on your staff, program.
That's part of the experience. You get what I'm saying is you're selling the experience. Experience is, what are you going to get when you come to our school?
And isn't that what you should be selling? Isn't that what...
It's a mental flip. I mean, you got to remember, I mean, I'm not tremendously that far removed, but I can't believe that the quality of a player that you're trying to get. Do you want the quality of player that doesn't care about what you're doing and all he cares about is the experience? Ask yourself that as a program, because I think that what you're saying is if 3 out of 10 kids don't care about what you're doing as a program instead of just care about what I get and what about the experience, then that's the type of player and that's the type of program you're going to have.
Okay, and I get that.
I don't think Alabama, I don't know. I'm just not close to the SEC and I don't get to see the depths of recruiting. And to me, it was shocking a little bit to me. It was just shocking to not hear that kids would not take more time in looking at what the program is doing. Does it fit my style of play?
Yeah.
Because eventually you're spending 12 weeks of the year playing Saturdays.
And
that's the most critical thing, I think, for that.
To that point, like, We look at it a different ways because what I see there is I get what you're saying, and I'm saying that's why guys like Chris Peterson were able to turn 7-5 Steve's teams into what they are now is because they sold not wins and losses, because they were a Washington was like a mediocre Pac-12 team, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't sell wins and losses. They didn't sell that. They sold what we're striving for in the experience of being a Washington football player playing for Chris Peterson.
I don't know if that argument is good, because it says he didn't win with that. He had four superstars, four guys on a defense that was arguably better physically than they ever were when he first got there, and went 7-6 and then didn't win like he's now winning with his players. Take the example.
That's what I'm saying, is that how do you get players?
How it didn't do you fit get, his style.
And then you get to, you're selling what, like, how do you get from middle of the road team, middle of the road, because that's what Washington was, to where they're at now, and it is selling.
Well, it's leadership. I mean, we do know that. I mean, a USC recruits a bunch of, I've said it before, a bunch of five stars. Do you want the guy that is just there because he's a five star? I want the guy that's invested. If I'm sitting in a recruit, I'm just telling you from my personal point of view, and I know this from a lot of different coaches. This isn't just a Coach Peterson thing. This is certain coaches. This is David Shaw. These are coaches that go in and sit in. I want to ask the kid a question, and if he goes, wow, coach, your jerseys looked really good, or goes, you know, that stunt you ran was really good, you're asking yourself, this kid will tell you if he belongs in your program right away. Are you a program that just wants to compile really, really nice, shiny things, like really, really great athletes,
right,
and hope a few pan out? Or do you want a few that really get it?
I think that is asking a lot of high school kids when you're getting recruited by 50, 60 schools, right? You think that they're watching all of them?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm just asking, does a kid have a concept or a grasp about what you're doing?
Oh, and yeah.
That's all I'm asking.
And we don't
I'm not
know.
Asking him to break down every first, second, third down series or stunts and line games. I'm just asking him, does he believe in the system that you're running?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's,
do you like that?
Well, you have to. Well, I was absolutely asked that question. You have
I was
to.
Asked that question specifically by every team that came and recruited me, from Notre Dame to Cal to Stanford to Washington State. They asked me, what do you see and how do you see yourself fitting into our style of play?
Yeah.
I don't know if they asked that same question.
Everybody? Yeah. Well, I think they do, but I don't know if kids. I don't know if high school kids really have that great of an understanding to do that, though, you know?
No, I'm not saying that they do. I'm just saying you would like to hope that it's more than 3 out of 10.
You would hope.
That's my only point. That's shocking.
You would really hope that is the case. All right, we'll get you set for the weekend on The Fan and Weekend of Football, Dusty and Cam.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Brought to you by Sherry's Cafe and Pies.
On 1080 The Fan.
I like this recruiting conversation, you know, because it really does. Like, what you're saying, man.
Well, it's a shift.
Is
of course it's
football,
a shift.
Football has changed so much.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the pro-style attacks are gone. And it's the coach finding the player that's right for them, as opposed to the player finding the scheme system fit. Because there's a style that can make and highlight each position and certain player characteristics, and you can make a lot of guys look good, right?
Yeah.
It really is how teams came into your home and asked you what you were looking for, what you felt was good about how they played, is completely different now. And I think overexposure of college football teams has a lot to do with that, because how often were you able to see all of the teams that were recruiting you in high school?
Well, I made sure I watched every single one of them. At least I didn't have game tape, but I made sure I watched them play.
Yeah. On TV, were you able to?
Yeah. Notre Dame was wide open. I mean, that was NBC.
Well, NBC every week.
Yeah. Some of the Pac-12 games, when I watched Washington play another Pac-12 team, or 10 at the time, it was Pac-10, at the time. It was that. It was only a Pac-10 team, or it was Notre Dame. It was all I was thinking about. I didn't want to go that far.
Why didn't you go to Notre Dame?
It was too far.
Too far from home?
Yeah.
You just, it fit well in the Midwest.
Well, here's the thing is if from my perspective, of all of the perspectives you have at quarterback, if you're going to think of yourself as a highly touted quarterback, you want to go where sometimes you can have a great quarterback system where it's going to fit your style of play. Mm-hmm. If you're Tom Brady, who's a kid, you're not going to go try to run Baylor's offense.
I'm just telling you.
Physically, it doesn't fit. So you want to find a Jim Harbaugh offense. You want to find a Stanford offense. You want to find that style that fits. So you're going to better do some research. And plus, coaches aren't going to just sit there and tell you, you fit right in with our high-speed blur offense. No.
Yeah.
You better fit. If you're a tight end, you're also going to try to find that style of offense.
Yeah.
But if you're not, if you're a wide receiver, you're going to go to different styles. You got to see how you fit. And I think if recruits and kids aren't taking that advantage, just think they can just plug and play and fit right in. How many times do we see an Oregon defense that now went from a 3-4 to a 4-3 and you go, well, you got a bunch of D linemen that fit a 34 style.
Yeah,
is it really?
You can see that they don't really fit that.
It's a different style. So now you have a different language coming in. So you better understand who you're recruiting and how are you going to fit that style and scheme.
It would have been you and Pete Kripe.
Kriplevich? Yeah.
I think your career was far better than his. So you would have been...
He had a good career at Notre Dame.
Who you would have played with guys like...
Ron Paulus.
Oh, Bryant Young.
Bryant Young, yeah.
He would have been on those teams. Jim Flanagan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, yeah, that would have been interesting. I wonder where your life would have taken you if you would have been a Notre Dame Fighting Irishman instead of a Washington Husky.
Well, think about that time, too, in that era. Who were the teams that were on top, that were really, really popular?
Did Lou Holtz come and spit on you in your home?
No, he did not. No.
No. Oh.
I didn't have that
luxury. Did you
talk
to him on the phone?
I didn't have that luxury, yes.
You did?
Yes.
Could you understand him?
Of course I could.
You did?
Yeah.
Really?
But those were, and it's also prominent too, because I look at that the teams that were all over the brands that were all over the television was, at the time, because I was up in Washington, that team, and they were three straight Rose Bowls and a national championship, so that's easy to market yourself. Notre Dame was huge, because it's a national brand. It's marketed really well. That's important to today's nowadays.
Yeah.
For kids, they see Oregon, national brand. They see Texas.
Huh.
They see these teams. They see Michigan with the Jordan brand on.
Yeah.
It is about being relative and being in the forefront.
I think that Robin Sherwood has been taken over by Josh Wilcox. He says, I think a better way to invigorate the Oregon fan base is not worrying about five-star this and that. I think a better plan would be for Uncle Phil to pony up and get Jim Ross to do the color commentary on televised games. Boom! Problem solved.
Roy Freeman!
Ah, no regard for human life!
You want a little WWE in your broadcast?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what people love Gus Johnson, right?
True.
All right. Last thing on you and Notre Dame. I would want to see you in the Fighting Irish ginger man that dresses up in the mascot.
True.
You guys could have been
a redheaded little leprechaun.
Yeah.
This red, the gingers, Irish.
It could have been
the correlation.
Schwarzenegger and DeVito and twins. You guys could have dressed up like each other.
I'll be dead honest. I really liked the gold helmets. I did.
You obviously do have a thing for him. And then
I got screwed
with the purple lids at Washington.
Trust me. It's one of the worst things that ever happened. Ever. Ever.
You know, have a purple UW helmet mini one at home. I'm going to bring it in for you.
Awful.
I'm going to bring it in for you. If you missed Cam's story about how he set himself on fire during a football game, that is in the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. That's a story. Andrew Nemec of the Oregonian as well. Join us 6 to 9 a.m. tomorrow. Up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3. Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7. 6:45 primetime with Isaac and Suk, and then 6:45 till whenever it's Cam's Columbia River Chieftains and the Hawkinson Hawks.
Chieftain.
Our Bi-Mart game of the week. I'm going to be in the box getting the lowdown. I'm going to have a hot mic in the box as you're watching the game.
Okay. We broadcast it together while I'm coaching?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Legal.
We'll talk recruiting.
Sure.
During.
Talk more recruiting.
All right. We'll see you Monday, 6 to 9 a.m. This has been Dustin Cam on 1080 The Fan.
I know y'all can't imagine, but you can only imagine.
Go Beavers! How about that?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.